you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Was it five? It wasn't five, was it? What?
You've sat across from me.
Would you vent into the mic?
Yeah, vent into the mic so she can record it.
And you think I've chopped my hair off half a foot?
Well, let me ask you this.
John.
Are we just starting? Sounds like
we're
we are.
We're starting.
I said 5 inches, but it was clearly what? Three? Okay, I didn't get three.
No, I mean, I just love giving you shit. Yeah, I don't know. I got it like a different kind of cut.
Okay.
On Thursday. And
got it.
It's feeling very fresh and fun.
Got it. I won't ask
and
again.
And I'm into it.
All right, I won't ask again.
I mean... No, thank you.
Let's actually like formally start that we're in the room. What? Did someone say? Oh, I didn't hear what Matt said.
Oh, he's making graham cracker crust.
Oh, I hear we're having key lime. Guys, welcome to the show. This was the weirdest opening
I was
we've
continuing
ever had.
To give John shit, even though he was like attempting to give me a compliment and I just shit all over him.
But you definitely like, did.
Whatever.
Which, you know, that's the basis of our friendship.
Yeah, he was like, oh, 31, you got to get a new haircut.
And I was like 6 inches off.
Was, yeah, 5 inches. I was
Megan
like,
will play
I can't
She'll
believe
it.
Yeah. that I, you think I would cut 5 inches off. Anyway, it's not interesting.
Not
but thank
that,
you for noticing.
Well, not only that, you took your headphones off, and that means business.
Yeah, you know when I get serious, it's like let me compose myself before I shit all over everyone in this room.
Well, before we get into today's show or anything else, we want to welcome a very special guest to the show who is going to be kind of guest hosting with us. Please welcome Vince Averill from the WWE podcast We Watch Wrestling.
Insert applause, Megan.
Thank you.
Hi, Vince. We're welcoming Vince for a number of reasons.
Okay.
Number one, apparently Matt has a friend.
I didn't know. That's breaking
Big
news.
Big news to me. Yeah. Big news to me, and I met Vince last night. Big news.
That is true.
Yeah.
And, like, side fun fact, as I was meeting him last night.
Which I wasn't there, by the way.
He let it slip that they were in a band together.
What?
And then I asked them the band name, and I tried to think of this last night. Dragon Lady of Phoenicia? Like, what was
Excuse
it?
Excuse me. Are
what
you
was
kidding?
It? Dragon
well,
something.
Well, I think the first question you asked was, what instrument did you play?
Yeah, neither of them answered. And they did answer. Yeah. And they said marijuana,
which I thought was
amazing.
It'll be something like that, sure.
It was amazing. Okay. But what was the band's name?
The Dragon Lord. No,
Dragon Lords. We call it Dragon Lords. I think that's good enough.
But what's the actual title? Dragon Lords.
Dragon Lord Paluska, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Okay,
Paluska.
So Dragon Lady of Phoenicia wasn't
that
like far
off. Was
this
like a Polish dragon thing? Like, what is this?
Yeah.
I think it was a collage of things that were in the room when we were rehearsing.
That is for our big show we performed. We're not going to talk about that, but yes, that is correct.
He did use rehearsing in air quotes, so you can just imagine the talent that was in that room, just dripping with talent. And the second reason we have Vince on outside of just to, you know, color commentary, making fun of Matt,
is
we have a murder involving wrestling, and he knows
literally
everything about wrestling. Matt asked him, he was like, oh, do you know Bruiser Brody, who we're talking about today?
Yeah.
And Vince looked at him like,
dude,
like, and Matt was like, am I insulting you by asking that? He's like, kind of, it's fucking obvious.
I know
that. About this. Yeah.
I think it's good. We should mention that, you know, we've done a couple of live shows at this point.
Yeah.
we probably should have an opening musical number, and I believe that the Polish, what is it, Polish Dragons?
Polish Dragons, yes.
Polish Dragons.
Would be a great opening band.
Yeah.
What do you guys think? Could we book you?
Yeah, a couple of the members are dead, unfortunately.
The Dragon Ladies of Pierogies might be good.
Game of Russian Dragons.
Yes.
Well, guys, and by the way, Vince, thank you so much for coming. A lot of people will know you as Georgia's husband from My Favorite Murder.
That's right.
Yep.
And you do like a lot with
I met Georgia last night.
Did you?
I did.
Look at that, a meeting of the podcasters.
Yes.
We should mention this. Darren and I went to book launch party.
Yeah, we'll talk about it on another shot. But yeah,
okay, we'll do that.
But yeah, we went to Georgia's book party, Georgia and Karen's book party, Stay Sexy and Don't Get Murdered.
Love it.
Am I right about that?
That's right.
Tour manager?
That's right.
And we'll tell a funny story on another shot if you ever listen to it.
Which will be out already, right?
It'll be out already. Georgia giving Matt sass in front of me. And it was like very worth it. And I felt like her and I were on the same page. And we were just like, yeah,
is that when I asked something inappropriate?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, listen to the another shot that is up right now.
Then he wonders
listening.
Why I don't want to hang out with him all the time.
Exactly.
And I'm like,
And he wonders why I won't get a burrito with the guy.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's insane.
He's sensitive.
Well, Vince, welcome to the show. And we will turn to you for things. And feel free to jump in and let us know. Because literally, the only thing I know about wrestling is, do you smell what The Rock is cooking? Which I love The Rock.
That's insulting
and
to
that's
Vince.
Literally
that's insulting
the only
to
thing
Vince.
I know.
He literally walked out of the room.
By the way, Vince was very, he's like, okay, that's great. It's good.
He's
it's
like
a good
too
start.
Nice. I have to like tone it down.
Maybe a touch.
A touch.
I'm happy to be here.
Thank you.
I hope to be of help.
Great.
Okay, good.
All right, well, let's get into this show. Oh, wait, Matt, should we talk about what we're drinking? I forgot.
I'm actually quite thirsty, Matt.
Yeah.
Okay, so we are having key lime martinis. And this time, it's actually with real key limes. There is no key lime famine anymore, right?
Yes, we did. We talked about that on last week's episode, right?
Yeah.
Where we had to try. We tried to get key limes. There were none to be had in
New
York. Fans
are sending us
them
because
like,
they
why
know.
Are the key limes? There were none to
They've
be had.
They've gone the way of helium.
Exactly.
Helium. There is a helium shortage.
Yeah, which I just found out about.
There is. Yeah.
Literally, party cities are closing down because they can't fill the balloons. I'm not kidding.
That's weird. We got a lot of hot air blowing from Matt's mic. And we need something to fill it up with.
Go ahead, Matt.
Lord.
You're still
All
there.
Right.
Here
so,
we go.
Key lime. It's actually key lime pie martini.
Yes, which is the
best one. And we have to thank Ashley Kay.
Okay, thanks, Ashley Kay.
A listener based in South Florida who shipped us these key limes.
Amazing.
Thank you, Ashley Kay.
Thank you.
It's just amazing. Best thing ever.
Yeah.
and the ingredients are 1.5 ounces of coconut rum, 1 ounce of vanilla vodka, 1/2 ounce of pineapple juice.
Ooh.
A tersh of heavy cream.
Ah, yes, a tersh.
And some tershes of lime.
I can't wait. You know, one of the questions we get asked a lot, especially during our live shows, are like, what are our favorite drinks? And I always go to the
key
lime martini. It's good.
Wait. Although last week's, that
was
margarita, like that pre-made margarita shit was good.
Yeah, that was good.
It was really refreshing.
Vince, now we're going to offer you one, but is that your taste, like a fruity martini, or do you want something like, you know, wild turkey? Like, what are you into?
I would say more often than not, I am not looking for a key lime martini, but
sure.
I'm down to clown, and I'm definitely going to have one today, yes.
Sounds good.
Dope, I love this.
Matt wasn't sure if you would be into it, but I'm glad
Let's
that you are.
Back in the Polish
Polish dragons.
We would, I think, more often than not drink Budweiser, wouldn't we?
That's right.
Budweiser with a side of key lime, a martini.
Yikes.
Matt, I just hope you made enough for all of us to potentially have seconds. Thank you.
By the way, I love when we were saying yes, because doesn't it feel like whenever your mom or your parents are like, kids, tonight we're having pizza for dinner, and then all of them are like, yeah, that's what's happening.
How did a man with 13 alibi witnesses get convicted of murder?
I still don't understand what I'm doing in prison.
A new Dateline original podcast series, 13 Alibis. Listen now on Apple Podcasts.
All right, Vince and Darren, let's get into the show.
Let's do it.
All right, let's talk about Bruiser Brody. That's his right name. So Bruiser Brody was a legendary pro wrestler who rose to international fame between 1976 until his death in 88, rather.
Can I just ask right from the start, Vince, is all wrestling fake?
Yes.
All of it, 100%.
Pro wrestling is completely predetermined.
So
do
they
guys hurt each other? Yes. But is everyone working together? In theory, yes.
So it's a choreographed dance, if you will.
Essentially.
Interesting.
You could put it that way.
Interesting.
That's interesting. I honestly didn't
know.
Yeah,
I wasn't sure because like people get offended, and I was like, but is it all
fake?
Do
you watch it with the understanding of that, or do you like watch it as if it's theater?
Yeah. So I think you would look at it. I look at it like, it's a show.
So
I don't want my intelligence to be insulted, right? Like, and so sometimes it's crappy, just like any other form of entertainment. And you're like, oh, this sucks. I've been pulled out of it.
Yeah.
But when it's done well.
You're
just in on it. And I think it's been that way for a lot longer than people on the outside sort of think. I think they thought people who are into it think it's real for much longer than they probably have. But
it's like medieval times when I used to watch The Jousters.
Yes. You're talking about the live performance.
Yeah, not the 1700s or whatever the fuck medieval times was.
1700s.
Whatever it was. I didn't cut 5 inches off my hair.
Fine.
I can't do math either.
But
maybe the red and yellow weren't going to win, and maybe everyone knew that, but you still had a good time watching it.
It's
like a performance.
Times, yeah.
Anyway.
I love that. That's interesting. Okay, so although he worked very hard to keep his shoot name hidden, it has since become common knowledge that Brody was born as Frank Goodish in 1946.
Shoot name
is kind of slang for real, right, Vince?
So
can you explain
within that? Wrestling began in the carnivals, right, when they actually were trying to fool people into thinking it was real. So there is a carny speak called kayfabe, which is inside wrestling terms. So if you're around a mark, which is a person who's not in on it, you would begin to kayfabe. So shoot means real, work means fake. You know, if someone's going over, it means they're winning. There's just terms.
So it's
a kayfabe term, shoot.
So when Matt's like, oh, I'm at work today, we know he's
kayfabing
us and kayfabing us and like obviously lying.
Good to know. By the way, I've already learned way more than I was expecting to about wrestling. By the way, have you ever wrestled?
No.
Have you ever wrestled Matt?
No.
Okay. Well, maybe we can do a Facebook Live. Facebook
Live.
Vince
is tall.
Definitely Vince.
I mean, Matt's got some muscle, but Vince is tall.
I wouldn't want to try Matt.
You're like 6'3".
That's right.
I feel like Matt would like Hulk out. You know what I mean? Like he could like snap and like really like.
And like the veins would start to pop in his head.
Yeah. I think Matt has that like.
I have
adrenaline.
Too. I do have that experience.
That's true. He does have that. Will we get to the end of the episode?
No.
I don't know. We have a lot to talk about. Not much is known about his early life, as he intentionally obfuscated many details about his personal history for the sake of his wrestling career. So this is a guy that's clearly very dedicated, I guess you could say, to his craft, if you will. That's according to a book called The Squared Circle by Frank Shoemaker. Quote, "I don't think it's good that anyone knows I'm Frank Goodish," he says in a YouTube video, which surfaced on the internet in 2009.
But I mean, right? Like, it's you're playing, because we know that it's fake, right? It's not like reality TV where they're not characters because they're playing themselves. These guys are playing a part. They're playing their characters. So they have to live up to their either macho bravado or whatever, a flamboyant style of any sort of whatever. I mean, they like to live it even when they're not in the ring.
Well, at this time, yes, because this is still at a time in the business when they believed if they did just hang out with the guy that they were supposed to be fighting against, or you knew who he really was, that it would kill the business, that people wouldn't be into it. Like, so nowadays it's not that way.
It's a little more blurred these days.
But in these days, the '70s, the '80s, especially, it was, they maintained kayfabe because they were afraid that people would stop watching if they just knew
if
what was
really
going on.
If they saw the enemy hanging out with them.
Right.
Got it. They couldn't
on.
Believe it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Evan Husney, producer of Vice's Dark Side of the Ring docuseries, explained how wrestlers remain committed to their character, even outside of the ring, as a way of protecting the legitimacy of the industry, which is what Vince was just saying. He said, quote, "This was the coolest outlaw era of wrestling. These wrestlers had to do everything they possibly could to protect the business and not expose it, even if that meant living their character in real life and the stakes of that, the honor and the code. To have that take place in a murder story, that happening in that world, it's even more crazy to try and figure out what's true and what's not. If you look at Brody, you might have seen a wrestling match before he came on and have been like, this is a fake, this is whatever. But when Brody comes out swinging his chain right in front of your face, then him and Abdullah are bleeding on you right in the stands, you're going to be like, wait a minute, maybe this is real. And that's an art form. It's a crazy art form. It's nuts, but it's also amazing to take your gimmick and bring it out into the real world and still keep it up. It's incredible. It's the theater of life," end quote.
I do kind of like that there's this like mafia-esque aspect of it
too,
that where they're like, we got to represent, like we have the code, you know, like Brody the Bruiser hates like Darren the Lesbo or whatever. That's my wrestler name. And then we can't like speak in real. Is that a good wrestler name, Vince?
Oh, it was beautiful.
Darren
the
Lesbo. Thank you. You're intimidated.
Got legs.
The local lesbian. Remember
the local
that one?
Lesbian. That's right.
That's a thing you still hear now, but especially then where it'd be like, yeah, it's all fake except
that
Kareem Abdullah, that's real. Or nowadays, but when Brock comes out, you'll hear people still be like, yeah, the one thing is real.
Do you think that's because they want to almost make sure they're making sense of it, but really cling on to some part of it that's entertaining to them?
I think some people are just stupid.
Oh, okay. But I like that.
I don't know. Yeah.
I was going to say, it's probably just easier to be a fan if you think that it's real and it's easy to believe in it. You know what I mean? Right. Like, if I knew the Yankees and the Sox were playing and it was predetermined who was going to win, it's hard to root for the Yankees then, even if I'm the biggest fan. You know what I mean?
I don't do sports. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, if Pokemon Go and Pikachu,
talking Serena Williams words, and then
okay,
I'm there
if
with
Funko
you,
Pop,
if my Funko Pops ran down the hallway,
right?
Anyway,
which is now we know what you do when you go home at
them.
Night.
Listen. I have my
kid
at
heart. Come on, Dumbledore.
I know.
You've got it.
I know. Yeah, that's me.
I know.
By the way, Vince, I clearly have an issue with collecting Funkos. We'll talk about
it later.
Yeah, okay. Back to this.
It's a sickness. Okay.
What is known is that he played football in college at Iowa State and later at West Texas State, a school which produced several iconic wrestling performers. He was discovered by Fritz Von Erich.
Great,
is that the right
greatest
name?
Greatest name ever.
Yeah, I like that. A legendary wrestler who ran his own Texas-based promotion, according to the Squared Circle. It was Vince McMahon, senior father of current WWE CEO Vince Kennedy McMahon, which these names should ring a bell even in pop culture.
Everyone knows who Vince McMahon is.
That first added the moniker of Bruiser to Brody's name. He married Barbara Smith, who remained his partner until his death. Together, they had a son named Jeffrey Dean Goodish. And Vince, I just realized, you know, in terms of names, my last name is Thrasher. So do you think that would be a good...
He would be Slasher Thrasher.
Well, there used to be a tag team in the WWF, and it was Mosh and Thrash.
Excuse me?
Yeah, so I'm
offended.
You might have to...
I might be related, though. Check it out. Yeah,
you might be one of the headbangers by blood.
That's exactly what Vince is thinking. Brody quickly rose to fame as a global icon and beloved superstar in the industry. His meteoric rise was the result of his impressive stature and in-ring ability. Mm. He was billed at 6'8". And 300 pounds.
Oh my God.
Which made him stand out even more impressively in his tours throughout Japan, where athletes were often far smaller. You know, we were talking about how you only knew who, like, Dwayne The Rock Johnson was, who's tall and a big guy.
Yeah.
But Bruiser feels like he could, like, toothpick with The Rock, like, in his mouth.
Size-wise, yeah.
6'8 is like you're a basketball player.
Yeah, that's huge.
Due to his brutish size and berserk characterization, he was frequently cast as a monster heel. So that's a wrestling archetype known for sadistically and unapologetically brutalizing smaller opponents. Is that the deal?
Heel's a bad guy. Face is a good guy. That's another two more kayfabe terms. So, yeah, he's a monster heel. He's a guy who, and this is, we'll get into how that got him into trouble, but yeah, he's a guy who would fuck people up.
but fuck up specifically smaller opponents. He's only fucking up the Mats of the world, not the Darren Carps.
Just to make it clear,
he's having a harder time with Darren and maybe making a little more money, but we'll probably eventually... Yeah, put you
You're
down.
Catching
Good to
on.
Know. Good
You're
to
catching
know.
On. Yeah. So here's what Shoemaker wrote in the Squared Circle. Quote, he could get a near epic match out of just about anybody he wrestled. Brody was both beast and poet. He wrote the epics in which he featured. He could turn any night at the wrestling show into a major event. End quote. Well said.
Yeah.
I mean, like, near epic match. I'm going to call him a beast and a poet.
Listen, all I know is I'm going to body slam Matt if I don't get my drink soon.
Uh-oh.
How about you?
Like, we're literally halfway through the script. He's tasting it. He's having his own cocktail.
I don't want that drink, by the way, that cup.
Lord. Well,
can you imagine me like lifting Matt in his reindeer head and like twirling him over my head and like slamming him down? It's going to happen on Facebook Live. We're going to make it. We should have done this from a wrestling ring, by the way. I don't know why we didn't book that.
We're in a wrestling ring every week.
That would have been fun.
I wish Vince could have been there when I hit you in the eye with the orange peel.
Oh my God, how dare you?
Hey Matt, how about you hop off the fucking mic and finish the drinks?
I didn't almost cry. I was just, I was surprised I was injured in the workplace, and it's fine.
HR did nothing.
Yeah, HR did nothing.
I work with the tough guys, if you can tell, Vince. Pro wrestler Vinny Massaro, who was best known for his appearances on Lucha Underground, recalled the immense aura and stage presence of Brody, telling Oxygen.com, actually, quote, I remember getting a tape from Japan, and he was would literally go around and start swinging a chain. The Japanese fans were hysterical. He was just an all-around badass person. He was literally Bruiser Brody, his own entity. Nowadays, people are like, that's just a gimmick. But for Brody, there was no gimmick. He was just his own persona. I'm sure he could still be going now if he were still alive, end quote.
Interesting.
Do you watch old footage of him and, like, can you tell?
Oh, so what you need to understand is he would come through the crowd in Japan. People would be scattering. Chairs would be flying. That's essentially how he would sometimes come to the ring. But at some point in the match, he would just be out there and it would be like Godzilla running around.
I mean, would you consider like one of the greater entertainers in that sport of all
Bruiser
time?
Bruiser Brody, by all means, is a legend. Now, to your point about him being able to have a great match with anyone, if he wanted to, and I think we'll probably get to that.
Okay.
But it was, yeah.
If not, I want you to color commentary that. rather than staying with one company or in one country for long, Brody followed his wanderlust and hopped from nation to nation, brawling in legendary battles along the way. He made notable appearances at both New Japan Pro Wrestling and All Japan Pro Wrestling. Thank you, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
And won several championships in a handful of different federations around the world. Now, because I'm getting parched. That's one thing we do is we cheers before we sip and we say cheers, bitches.
Cheers bitches. Thank you.
Matt,
thank
do you,
you
have yours? Cheers.
This actually looks really good. It's not as key lime as it typically is, but go ahead. What are your thoughts?
I mean, I think it's delicious. Good. What I wanted to actually ask you, though, because Japan seems to be a focus.
Yes.
Is wrestling popular, like, United States and Japan, or is it like major in Latin America, major everywhere?
No, it is, but it's like the same thing here, right? Where there are boom periods where it's like everyone knows the Hulk Hogan period, the Stone Cold Rock period. So like Japanese wrestling is sort of on the incline now, but it is certainly a major cultural thing in Japan.
And still is.
Yes.
Wow. Well, he also worked as a producer on the World Class Championship Wrestling telecast, although he kept his off-camera role a secret. I'm assuming maybe, you know, it doesn't fit with the character of Bruiser.
But he was the booker, right? So he was making the matches. He would say, this guy's going to wrestle this guy, and here's what's going to happen. That's when you say producer, he was the booker. He was deciding the matches.
Interesting.
Yeah. Even for himself?
Yeah, because when you got the pencil, as they say, you make all the stories. Yeah.
Interesting. Well, eventually, because of his charisma, Brody underwent a quote-unquote face turn, which is wrestling saying for when a bad guy character has a change of heart and garnered acclaim as a righteous hero. Am I correct about that?
Yes.
All right. I'm learning
all kinds of fun vocabulary. I like this.
At the same time, Brody began getting involved in more violent hardcore matches, which had begun gaining popularity as a subgenre of wrestling in areas of South America. A worldwide feud with Nemesis Abdullah the Butcher propelled both their careers to new violent heights. Do I want a butcher or a bruiser to go against me? Bruiser, I feel like, I'll walk away with flu black and blues, but like chick stick scars.
Okay.
Whereas butcher, I feel like I'm walking away without limbs.
Fair enough.
So I'm gonna go with I'd rather go against Bruiser.
Yeah, that makes
also,
sense.
Also, Abdullah the Butcher, who was like a menace, a bloody menace, in any time he wrestled, also had a restaurant down in Georgia called Abdullah the Butcher's House of Chinese Food and Ribs. It's closed now, but it was.
Now we know what he did those body parts.
Let me ask you: when you say violent, he was super violent or whatever,
and bloody.
And
like,
bloody is that staged as well?
Yeah, or like, is it real blood?
Circumstance.
Yeah,
so
if you look at a guy's head like Bruiser or Abdullah or other people, and you see that it just sort of has that's just from blading, right? You conceal a razor blade sometimes in your mouth, sometimes in your wrist tape, and at a certain point you go down and you cut yourself, right?
Ooh.
Or if you haven't done it, your opponent may do it for you.
Oof.
But it's all that's real blood. There is no fake blood. They don't do it very much anymore.
Listen,
but those guys did it all the time.
Can you make a good living being a wrestler?
Definitely.
Like, even if you're not The Rock or,
well,
you know,
the you thing know. Is the business has changed so much that now we're sort of coming back to a point where you don't have to be in the WWE to make a very good living.
Interesting.
So it's sort of, there's been a little change in how things work. But yes, anyone who is working in the WWE is not a multimillionaire necessarily, but is should be doing okay.
They're making
for
a good wage. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
It's a big price to pay, frankly, when you're
getting
beat
thinking,
up like that.
Yeah, right.
Because what you have to do to get there, right?
Right,
you do so much to yourself to get to that point.
Well, that's true.
One other question that I'm just curious. How often do wrestlers really get hurt?
Like frequently.
Frequently. Yeah. I mean, guys will, break limbs or tear muscles. That sometimes has to do more with steroid use, I think, but because, you don't see a bicep doesn't normally tear, right?
Right.
It's not that common of
That's
a thing,
true.
but you'll start to see them muscles are tearing a lot in situations. Anyway, yes, to your point, guys get hurt all the time. What they're doing hurts. That's why fake is not really like a favorite term. Right, it's more predetermined because fake means like, oh, you're, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Are roids banned?
Definitely.
Yes.
Definitely. The policies that they're using now, because so many guys have died. But then there's also now this existence of people outside of WWE. So there is not. Those policies aren't in place. So if you're trying to make your own way, you probably are going to do whatever you need to do, you know, and there's no one who's going to tell you you can't.
Interesting.
Yeah, because you're making a living too, you know.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm.
All right, so an event in Puerto Rico would ultimately end Brody's career and his life. Backstage, Brody and a wrestler named Invader One, which I like that name as well, that's pretty cool, had been arguing. Invader One's shoot name is Jose Gonzalez. Gonzalez was a fairly minor character in the pantheon of pro wrestling at the time, and not much is known about him either. According to an interview he gave in Spanish to PRWrestling.com, Gonzalez was added to the WWF's roster in 1972 under the name The Prophet.
Which doesn't sound intimidating in a physical way, but in an intellectual way.
That's
it sounds
true, yes.
Intimidating.
Yes. By 1973, Gonzalez had a decent reputation as a worker and booker in the World Wrestling Council and had performed with the International Wrestling Association. So another question is, so here's another guy that was a booker. Was there some sort of advantage to being a booker? Was it more money or what was it?
No, I mean, so in as much as the way wrestling has always been structured is your place on the card.
Yeah.
It determines how much money you make, right? You have a downside guarantee usually. And if nothing else, like if you're on the top of the card, you're making so much. So if you're the booker, oh, well, I should definitely be in the main event, or I should definitely be working with this guy who's, you know, like, and drawing more money.
Got
so
it.
In that way, yes.
That's weird. It seems a little conflict of interest.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Without a doubt.
It's also fake. So, I mean, there's also that, too. You know what I mean? There's not like a weight class, right? Like in boxing. Like,
no, it's just
whomever.
Who are people going to come and watch?
Right.
How many people can we get to come see this?
Well, the exact subject of the beef between Invader and Brody remains a mystery. Either way, the two took their business discussion into the showers for privacy. Now we're talking. According to
Only
Vice,
men would do this.
According to Vice, quote, Gonzalez called Brody into the shower. There were yells almost immediately, and then there was Brody bleeding to death, end quote. He was repeatedly stabbed in the showers, according to the Squared Circle. A wrestler named Dutch Mantel, who has also performed with WWE under the name Zeb Coulter, is that the right way
yes.
to say that?
Yep.
Described the confusion at the scene to the writer Shoemaker for the Squared Circle, quote, "We all heard a scream and saw someone's hand with a knife go into a bigger guy. Gonzalez ran out a secret hideaway in the back, and we all ran in and knew it was pretty bad. Brody's main chest wound had blood that was bubbling." I'm just making sure I read that the right way. "So I figured his lung had been sliced open. Ugh. He kept asking pro wrestler Tony Atlas to take care of his wife and kids. He knew he was dying but could talk. It took well over an hour to get the ambulance there. I called Mrs. Goodish and told her she better come down a few hours before he died, that the rumors she heard were true," end quote. So
if I can color this in a little
please,
bit for you.
Yeah.
While you're coloring, Matt, could you get me more of a drink?
Oh, wow. Darren's
whoa, that is
taking care of business.
Well, I'm listening to all these men talk
record
about wrestling
speed.
And Mama gets thirsty.
Go ahead, man.
So, you know, the thought is, as I was sort of intimating, Brody was hard to do business with because he really wanted to protect his character because he was going around place to place, and he thought if he ever looked weak that he would lose his ability to draw because he had to be the monster.
Right.
So there's that factor. So maybe he didn't want a job to whoever he was supposed to job to.
Oh.
And so a lot of times if there was, you know, a conversation that needed to be done in private, you're in a locker room. So it wasn't strange that they went into the shower.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Tony Atlas was the guy who was right there because Dirty Dutch Mantel had walked out. I mean, this is subsequent on the Dark Side of the Ring. They covered this because when he came back in, he didn't know what had happened. And they had already tried to, like, say that a fan had done it. There was so much confusion.
Yeah.
You know?
It rings a little bit, obviously not as serious, but like the Tonya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan thing, just like the business aspect of sport and how it can really lead people to commit crimes, whatever. I don't know. Just thinks, I think I'm thinking of that.
No. I mean, like anything to do with like competitive sports. I mean, is it true that we don't really know what the conversation?
No one knows.
Well, in Dark Side of the Ring, Tony Atlas recalls the chaotic scene when Brody was rushed to the hospital. Atlas claimed that the medical facility was so filled with other victims of crimes that he had to physically carry a doctor to Brody's side and force him to pay attention.
Jesus.
That's not a good thing.
Yeah, it was like they didn't care. Like, the stabbing was not high enough on the food chain in the hospital. Yeah,
that's crazy.
That just goes to show. Yeah, like, no.
I wonder if that doctor was a little scared. That must have been a big guy picking him up and saying, fix
that,
this guy.
That's a good point.
You
take
know,
a drink.
I think about it because my ex-girlfriend, one of my really good friends,
is Bruiser Brody.
Is Bruiser Brody. She is an ER doctor, and she does it down in Philly. And I told her, I was like, oh my God, you're near Camden, like, you know, which is the highest murder capital in the world. In the United States. And she was like, yeah, exactly. Like, I'm going to be busy all the time.
All the time.
And she says, like, some days she's just holding a wound open for 9 hours, like, preventing these people from bleeding out. But you're like, in an emergency situation, maybe a stab wound is, like, middle of the road compared to, like, a shot in the face. Right. Like, I talk to her about this all the time and the things that she sees. And she's like, yeah, something that you might think is severe is low level for us because we have to handle things that are more severe. So,
that makes sense.
You know.
Well, Atlas went on to say, quote, the last image I got of Brody was him laying down, holding his intestines in with one hand. The other hand, he was holding onto a picture of his son. That's how the man left this world, holding his intestines and his son. That's how he left this world, end quote.
Something so traumatic, but also really sensitive.
Yeah.
No, I mean, they ultimately did a couple surgeries, but
it wasn't enough.
I mean, yeah, just... I think the length of time, it was probably just too much, you know?
But I think people have, like, this weird stereotype of wrestlers and men in general just being, like, in any sort of physical sport where you have to be huge. But, like, these guys are actually sensitive men with families who care, you know? And, like, it's a business for them. It's a job. And they actually are, like, very vulnerable and very, very sweet. Like, a lot of the bodyguards that are at bars and something, like, I'll start talking to them and I'm like, you're huge, like, 6'8", 400 pounds. And they're like, the most gentle people.
We know that you love an Ed Kemper.
I love a bodyguard.
You love an Ed Kemper.
I love a bodyguard.
Police were
called. I do love an Ed Kemper.
You are. You're such an empath. Police were called to investigate the locker room in the wake of the stabbing, but Mantell says they thought the whole violent skirmish was staged as part of some elaborate hoax, which makes sense.
But could you imagine? That's a PR stunt.
Mantell told Dark Side of the Ring, quote, Brody had already been taken out, but the police walked in thinking, well, it's just another crazy, wild wrestling brawl. They didn't think it was real, end quote. Mantell says the disbelief of the police hampered large parts of the investigation. Mantell also said, quote, Atlas was telling the cops that's the guy you need to fucking arrest right there. And he pointed to Jose Gonzalez. If you're a policeman and you come into a situation that you think could be staged, they didn't think it was real, end quote. And the wrestling show continued nonetheless, but both Mantell and Atlas were horrified to see performers congratulating each other after the event, laughing as if nothing had happened. The wrestler Massaro disagrees with Mantell's narrative of the events, telling Oxygen.com, quote, I think it was more of the actual people in charge telling the cops to look away, so I'm not buying that, end quote.
The other consider is, at this point, because of kayfabe, there are two locker rooms. So there was a whole other locker room of wrestlers, right? The heels and the baby faces are separate. So the other side is just hearing rumors like, oh, did a fan get in?
Was there
a fight? What happened? So a lot of guys didn't have any idea what had happened until they got back to the hotel
that
night.
Despite being somewhat nearby or whatever. Wow.
Do you think that this would happen today?
No.
And do they still try and maintain that it's real? Or is everyone in on the joke that it's fake? Or they say, like, no, this is performance
art.
It's not
fake, Darren.
Well,
no, it's, I mean,
choreographed. It's choreographed.
Insulting Vince. Right,
they have said,
do you know who Bruiser Brody is?
They've said on their show, it was like just openly said,
you know.
But forever it has been known and discussed, and there's been articles written in the New York Times going back to the 20s.
Yeah.
But so it's, you know, it's not,
I didn't know wrestling was around that long.
No, it goes, I mean, Abraham Lincoln wrestled.
What?
It's a performance.
No, I mean, all the way back to the carnivals,
like, but this kind of wrestling?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Still waiting to
Matt,
see
you
Matt.
Don't remember it from when you were a kid?
Yeah, when you were like a tiny child.
Yeah, but he was talking about the 1920s. Oh, it's shit.
Slow to that uptake.
Vince is not having that's that.
Been here for 30 minutes and he's fucking upset. Got it.
I just threw this drink in my own face.
My God, the dragon ladies of Petroika are really fucking killing me today.
Petroika.
Gonzalez was charged with murder but was ultimately acquitted after claiming he had acted in self-defense, according to the Squared Circle. Husney believes that because many Puerto Ricans believe Brody was in fact the monster he had at one point portrayed, it became harder to convict Gonzalez. Remember, Bruiser Brody, like he's going after it. He can be vicious, he can be violent.
Yeah.
Quote, it was Brody's persona that the jury perceived that man to actually be, end quote.
That's so interesting because it's like, it's almost like he was so good at
But he's
his
living it
job.
Outside of his life because they had to, you know.
Do you guys remember in the Gawker trial when Hulk Hogan on the stand said, Terry Bollea doesn't have a 10-inch penis. Hulk Hogan has a 10-inch penis.
I didn't
like,
know
literally.
That.
Wow.
So. I mean, that's a quote that I've used as well on trial.
Listen, it's in the public domain. What can you say?
I do have a 10-inch penis. Additionally, many who were called to testify about the crime did not receive their summonses until after the trial was already over.
What?
Quote, I already knew the verdict by the time my subpoena arrived at my door. It was 10 days late. End quote, Mantell told Dark Side of the Ring. Brody was given a perfunctory funeral in Puerto Rico shortly after his death. Gonzalez did not respond to Oxygen.com's request for comment about the killing. I wonder why.
Yeah.
On Facebook, where he offers paid appearances at birthday parties, his cover photo is a picture of Bruiser Brody with a text that reads, quote, I didn't kill Bruiser Brody in Spanish.
Wow.
It sounds like he's using the death of Bruiser Brody as a marketing campaign for himself.
He came back, he changed his shirt, wrestled that night. The Invader 1 is a piece of shit.
I call Matt a piece of shit every day. It's fine.
We do have to reiterate that this person was acquitted
by self-defense.
Carlos Colon has a lot of, does have a lot of power in Puerto Rico and certainly had a hand in the outcome of that trial.
Well, Gonzalez would actually go on to win Puerto Rico heavyweight championship 12 times between 1977 and 2001. Wait, hang on, Vince. Wait, when I said heavyweight championship, though, like, I thought that there weren't classes of weight.
Well, I mean, I think the belt in... the main belt in almost every promotion is called the heavyweight championship.
Got it.
Or the world championship, at least. Yeah.
Well, only a year after the death, Gonzalez underwent his own highly controversial face turn after the killing, prompting the Wrestling Observer, perhaps the industry's most respected wrestling
news
stores.
New York Times of professional wrestling.
That's a good way to put it.
To proclaim one of his storylines as the most disgusting promotional tactic of 1989. In 1990, Gonzalez replayed a dramatic version of the stabbing as a storyline.
Oh my God.
This time with wrestler Atsushi Onita acting as the aggressor in the Frontier Martial Arts Wrestling promotion, which was again criticized by the Observer as the most disgusting promotional tactic of the year. Granted, he was acquitted.
Yeah. But, self-defense, he says.
But I think we can still call him a douchebag for capitalizing on this fucking terrible murder.
Well, isn't
guilty
it like,
or not, you're still a douchebag.
Well, right. That was my point. Like, either way, you were in some way involved in this. Like, wouldn't you want to be a little more sympathetic?
You're a fucking douchebag for playing on this horrible thing that happened. Massaro says that Gonzalez is not thought of fondly amongst wrestlers to this day.
As Vince just mentioned.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I don't see him at any of the conventions.
Yeah.
I've never seen
him. Like, is he gone from, like, people don't even talk about him?
I mean, I have not gone to Puerto Rico, but anywhere around here that I've ever been, Invader 1 is not welcome.
Mm.
Would he be chased out of the building?
I'm sure there would be more than one old wrestler who would step to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would not be welcomed.
Not step to him.
Yeah.
Would you want to, like...
With your 10-inch penis.
Yeah, that's why they call me the hammer.
Oh.
Thanks, John.
That's it, guys. We'll see you next time.
Fade to black. He told Oxygen.com, quote, I think of him as a murderer. I think of him as a piece of shit. Would you want to work with someone that is known for fighting someone to get a better spot than you? Why would you want to be in the same locker room? I know older wrestlers that hate, despise anybody that was in the locker room that wasn't Tony Atlas or Dutch Mantell. Hmm. End quote. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Brody, meanwhile, has been canonized among other icons of the industry in the WWF Hall of Fame. The WWE's website says, quote, Bruiser Brody, like many men who die before their time, has been mythologized by those fortunate enough to have witnessed the carnage created by their legendary brawler. The fans who cowered from Brody's steel chain in Tokyo's Korakuen Hall or watched in horror as he manhandled Bruno Sammartino in Madison Square Garden will say they never saw a competitor as unpredictable, as dangerous, and as ruthless as Bruiser Brody, and they will be telling the truth, end quote. You agree with that, Vince?
Sure.
Yeah, sure, why not? Sure. And then he met me.
Yeah, exactly.
I have breaking news.
Oh, what?
We're out of key lime martinis.
No, we're not. John Thrasher is having a second drink.
Oh, that is
breaking
news. Ring
the wrestling bell, because this is huge.
The fruitier, and if there's the word pie in the martini, I am completely in for that.
You're sending
Thank
me
you,
up for
Matt.
All the gay jokes in the world, but I am not.
I know. Yeah, it is. It is a lot like that.
Well, a pro wrestling manager of 10 years who goes by the stage name Chad Epic told Oxygen.com that Brody remains a guiding light for younger stars and that he was, quote, a man we still very much look up to, end quote. And though this case is wild, we'll never really know what happened to prompt the altercation. And of course, we have to remember he was acquitted due to self-defense.
My initial thought, too, is, or one of the thoughts I can't get out of my head as we talked about this case is his son. Like, how did his son deal with this? Or is he okay? Does he want to come have a drink with, you know what I mean? Like, like, I'm just so empathetic towards kids who inadvertently become victims, you know, in these kind of scenarios.
I mean, I will say, even though he was acquitted, like, I do think the legacy matters. And it sounds like Bruiser Brody has a very solid legacy and that people really look up to him and respect him and, like they said, canonize him. Whereas Invader One, regardless of innocence, the rumors were out there. People fucking hate the guy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know if there are two men in the shower and one of them gets stabbed to death.
This
and
is
the
your
other
question,
John.
I know. I'll help you
how
answer.
Are we to say, like, I don't understand how anyone can look at that and be like, oh, I mean, I in the court of law, no one saw it, whatever.
Because here's the other thing.
But in the court of public opinion, how do you go, oh, well, he had nothing to do with it?
If you enter the shower, by the way, I'm assuming they're, like, they're in the shower, not, like, showering.
John,
it's a private area.
It's a locker room.
John just really wants it.
No.
He's hung up on the shower moment.
How hot was the water?
No. Listen, guys.
Was there loofahs involved?
Were there a lot of suds? No.
Were they wearing shower sandals?
No, I had a point, which was that you guys are the worst, by the way. I want to just make sure that's
clear. Not me, right, John?
I have a real question for Vince. Thank you very much. If you're entering the shower, right, in a private area with your clothes on just to speak, and you enter it with a knife, you know, that's the other thing, is it sort of premeditated if you're walking into a shower with a knife.
That's another thing, too. Like, he's saying it's self-defense. Does that mean that the knife...
Yeah, like how does that
play
into this?
Got handed over in an altercation. Like, were they both having knives on them? And
I also find it hard to believe that in a situation where you're defending yourself against Bruiser Brody, even if you're Invader One, that you're ultimately going to be able to stab him that many times.
Yeah.
You know, the fight would have... It was much more Dutch Mantel, Tony Atlas, they all describe as it's very quick. And then you just hear Brody making these noises because he's been stabbed.
That's terrible.
That's it.
Well, by the way, we have a bunch of this reporting apparently on Oxygen.com. So if you guys want to check out some
check
of those
out.
Quotes and some of the details, we'll put a link in the show notes as well. Vince, are there any last thoughts here about this case that you want to convey? Because obviously, you know, this is our interpretation of the research, but is there anything more about this case we should know?
No, but I think it also speaks that Tony Atlas that night, he went back to the hotel and guys were like saying, they're looking for you. You need to get out of here. And he went and slept on the beach. He grabbed his bags and went and slept on the beach and then went to the airport because, you know, it was like, these guys are doing people dirty.
Yeah, right.
You know?
It's a little dark mafia, like, in
this
way.
There's a sense of that,
There is.
I agree.
Right? I mean, even people, the public opinion and the jury, you know, thinking Bruiser's this, like, really monstrous guy, and he's holding a fucking picture of his son as his last moments. Like, the picture that they are... And this is why I feel like jury bias is really easy to complicate in so many cases. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the OJ doc on ESPN really said that, you know, and just press being involved with everything. And we talk about this all the time, like social media and everything.
Yeah.
But it's like this was a career path for him and it's sort of like fucked him over in the end. And, but it was a wildly interesting case. Let us know what you guys think about it. Or if
I was just going to say, if you're
maybe
a fan,
we're wrong.
Yeah, if you're a fan of wrestling or not, let us know what you thought about the case. Use hashtag martinis and murder. You can also message us at Jay Thrasher, Carpe Darren, and Matt the Bartender.
And subscribe to We Watch Wrestling.
Yes.
Thank you.
Because you're going to get more of this shit.
Yes. Did you cover this on We Watch Wrestling?
So The Dark Side of the Ring has been such a great series that we talked about this episode when it aired. Yeah.
Do you guys like, what is the format of your show? Do you recap like matches? Or is it like all things wrestling?
Yeah, it's like we are both longtime super fans. My co-host worked as a writer at WWE for a while, so we just talk about whatever we've watched and whatever's going on. It's not like
I have to say I've been to their live shows.
Yeah, I was gonna say Matt has been there.
That's what you showed me last night.
I know.
Like they'll say one thing and the
fans
like,
ugh. I've been to a couple of wrestling matches now because of Vince.
Yeah. I've been
Vince
to one in my life.
Our mutual friend Josh into it, and so I go with Josh. But I don't understand when I go to his shows, I don't understand what the fuck is happening. They say something and then the crowd, like in unison, screams something else.
Can't
I know. Yeah, exactly.
Or like, Dan. Dan.
Your wife is here.
Dan. Yeah, that's another catch thing from our fans, from our show.
Do you have a favorite wrestler that if I were to turn on the TV and watch a match, I should look out for this person?
Well, Ric Flair is the greatest wrestler of all time.
Ric Flair?
Yeah, Ric Flair.
I've heard
Ric Flair? You don't know who Ric Flair is.
Would your co-host not agree with
you? I was like thinking like Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I don't think anyone could disagree with him being in the discussion. And I think if you're just someone who wants to see something and it's going to be, you know, the pageantry and the presentation and all of that, I think Ric Flair. And he wrestled Brody. He's from that time.
A reindeer could have a persona as a...
I was totally thinking
about it. You'd gallop. No one could catch you.
You have
reindeer. A reindeer.
What is this line of questioning?
You know that Matt is a reindeer,
right? He doesn't know this. Oh. I have.
You see any promotional photos over here? Yes. Matt. Yeah. He's a reindeer.
That's me.
Yes. Okay. Matt's pointing to the wall.
Could this be a wrestler, a reindeer?
Yes. What you don't know and you should know is that last night was not me and Matt's first hangout, and the first hangout we ever had, we had a sleepover.
We'll send you the episode.
And I got pregnant miraculously. We never had sex, but I got pregnant with a baby reindeer.
I wore her Dikey basketball shorts.
That's true. He needed shorts.
Her words, not his.
I gave him my shorts, my basketball shorts, and a baby was born, and so I have a human reindeer inside of me that's still in its gestation period. John doesn't like
after
the word gestation.
Year. No, I don't like that word.
And that is how baby reindeer, baby Tersh got involved. Yeah. I'm just catching him up on all the important things.
Good to do. Yeah. Thank you.
Let's do some listener show.
It makes perfect sense.
Okay. He's like, that makes sense.
He's not even questioning it. He was in the dragon ladings of Petroika.
Petroika.
He doesn't care. Let's get to some listener shows. Okay, I'm not sure how to pronounce his name.
I think it's Shell.
I think it's Chell. It could be Chelly.
Could be Chelly.
But I'm going to say Chell.
All right. I'm going Shell like Michelle.
Shell. Oh, yeah. Okay. So Chelle on Facebook says, just finished binge listening to Martinis and Murder. Only took me 27 business days. I love business days.
I love a good business day.
Because that's like, you know, a solid 5.5 weeks.
Yeah.
Loved all of it. Can't wait for more new episodes. John Thrasher and Darren Karp. What am I going to do now without listening to you guys every day?
Listen to
We Watch Wrestling. I also want to know what you do for a living, because clearly you're not listening to us on the weekends.
Yeah.
What job? Or working,
by the way. You're clearly not working if
you're
listening.
And I encourage you to not work and listen to us. I just want to know what kind of job you can do that with.
Yeah.
Because I'm switching jobs.
We need a career change.
Yes.
There's also lots of positive responses to our John Douglas interview, which I'm still kind of recovering from, by the way.
I know, starstruck with him.
Amazing. Patricia on Facebook says, just have to say, what a great interview with John Douglas. Now I want to read his books and continue watching Mindhunter. Love that episode. Now I have to wait till Sunday for the next one. Can't wait. I've told so many people of this podcast. So thank you, Patricia.
I love you guys hustling for us.
Darren, one more thing I wanted to let you know.
Oh, God.
Remember Milkshakes and Magic? We talked about a little bit on Thursday's episode.
The cutest
episode.
People that have ever been
it's
on
very
our
cute.
Podcast.
Well, there's an article on Oxygen.com because you have a dog, or you kind of like share a dog. Well, yeah. I don't know exactly how you explain
it. I mean, like, my girlfriend thinks they're hers, but they're mine because they love me more.
Well, there's an article on Oxygen.com of all the different service dogs, like different things that dogs do as service, and it's so adorable. I just wanted to make sure you saw it. We're going to link to that in our show notes, by the way. It's
dogs
very
have
cute.
Empathy.
And The Secret Life of Pets, by the way, which was connected to Milkshakes and Magic, is out on June 7th, next weekend.
Oh, are you going to go see it?
I do want to see it because, and I talked about this on another shot recently, I saw Aladdin over the Memorial Day weekend.
That's right.
And they had another Pets, Secret Life of Pets 2 trailer in front of it. And it was so cute. And the whole theater was like loving it. And I was like, I might actually go see this.
Are you going to get off social media so you don't have spoilers?
Yes, Secret Life of Pets 2.
I don't want to know what happens to the snake.
Well, we want to say thank you so much to Vince. Make sure you check out
his
podcast.
Vince.
Thank you, guys. Watch Wrestling.
Yes. Anywhere you listen to this show, right? It's everywhere.
Sure. Yep.
Yeah. Awesome. And we'll be back
Thursday.
Stick
around for some more martinis.
Yeah. We'll see you soon. Bye. Thanks, Vince.
Thank you.
Bye, Vince.
Bye.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.